I talk to a great many book people on this show, and there's a strain of discourse that I can identify from them and from, you know, the wider talk on the internet, in papers, and wherever else. I just call it reading pessimism, a book pessimism. Call it what you like, the notions that the book is dying, the novel is dying, nobody's reading, print is on its last legs. And it's one of the refreshing things about Bookworm that that sort of thing doesn't really tend to make it in. And the show is essentially a celebration, I would call it, of reading and what's to be gained from fiction and what's to be gained from poetry. Now, I've also heard you quoted in other interviews as being a little bit wary or a little bit fearful of a possibly real decline in reading. Where do you fall on the optimism to pessimism scale as far as what you think about where reading itself is going?
Okay. Let's begin with the impossible proposition that opposing things can be true at the same time. Okay. The opposing things that are true in this case at the same time is, one, more people are reading more books than ever before. And two, the audience for serious fiction and poetry is as large as it ever has been. Okay? That's on one side. On the other side, there's an economic idea that something that grows has to keep growing. In other words, something that increased by 25% must increase by not just 25%, but 37% next time. That's not happening with most things. It's not happening to newspaper readers. There are as many newspaper readers as ever, but it's not fulfilling the kind of growth curve that they think of as being meaningful profits. Well, yeah, but being an informed person is not something you do for profit. And even you and I, as magnificently well-paid as I'm sure both of us are, we are neither of us rolling in it as a result of being well-informed and poetic. The rewards are elsewhere. The rewards are being able to convince others and teach others things, to share and perpetuate values that were ours before we were born in the form of other people who created and shared those values too. You know, we are the beauty of conservation when it's not conservative. We're the beauty of tradition when it passes on the best rather than the habitual. The best rather than the habitual. Did you hear me? And so we want, you know, the result is to be beautifully able to speak to people who, by our example, will try to do things better and take more difficult risks as readers. We have those people, but no, they're not growing according to a constantly accelerating profitability margin. That margin is erroneous. No publisher has ever enjoyed it. It doesn't exist. You might be able to escalate things that way with a new technology like the web, where first you have to get people to buy the computer, then try the software, then convince their neighbors that they need a computer. Yeah, that's the way television grew in America, and that's the way the web is growing. It just doesn't happen to be the way books grow or the way print media grows. And so we have to start reminding people that there's a fallacy about this. We need to do better as a culture in terms of literacy, and we need to combat illiteracy, and that can be a growth figure we aspire toward. But the number of readers will stay stable over any given 20-year period. What we have to understand is that it's not shrinking, and the better the readers are, the better the teachers will be in the classroom. I want to be sure, when I was, what, 7 in 8th grade, there was junk being read in school readers, and then, who knows why, my teacher, Mrs. Willenberg, read us T.S. Eliot's Macavity, and I think I had an ear for what was real. And I said, wow, Macavity, there's no one like Macavity. He's broken every human law. He breaks the law of gravity. I asked if I could borrow that book, not the one of Jump, Dog, Jump and Go, Dog, Go. If we read well, our teachers teach better. If they read better books, they share them with the 7-year-olds, the 8-year-olds, the 4th graders. And suddenly, yeah, if all along the adults who talk to you are talking in better words and funnier language and making you thrilled to have ears, well, that's what we want in our schools, you see? That's what we're responsible for at our grassroots behind a radio microphone.